Bonjour à tous. Welcome back to the Education for Climate Talk. Today we're going to talk about Learning Planet with you, François Teddy. Welcome.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you on board, really. So, François, you're an internationally renowned researcher in evolutionary systems biology. But today I'm not talking to the biologist. I'm talking to the man passionate about education. A founder and president of the Learning Planet Institutes. So formerly it was known as the Center for Interdisciplinary Research, the CRI in French. And I was having a look at your website before the interview, and there's a section on your website where it's about your beliefs, missions, and actions. And we can read this. Since 2006, the Learning Planet Institutes has been dedicated to reinventing learning for all ages, lifelong learning, through collective intelligence in order to build sustainable and inclusive learning societies able to rise the complex challenges we face. So obviously, this can't but generate profound interest for the education for community members. Hence my first question to you, very direct one. What is Learning Planet Institutes? What are your objectives and activities, François?
So thanks, Tremor, for inviting me to this wonderful talks. So the Learning Planet Institute has basically five pillars for our activities. Our mission, you nicely summarize, is to mobilize collective intelligence, individual intelligence, and artificial intelligence to rise to the challenges of our time. How can they co-evolve? And how can we co-construct the future with learners of all ages in this intergenerational, interdisciplinary, intercultural way? How can we learn from each other across the planet so that we share the best ways forward? Because the path forward is not that clear. But if those that are somewhat ahead on their path start sharing ideas and projects and ways of moving forward, we are much more likely to move. So these five pillars of ours, first is research. You know, how do we research on what we call learning transitions? And learning transitions is the transition of education, the education for transition, but it's also learners' transitions. At different age, you have different type of transition that you have to go through. And it's learning transition in the sense that we have to share the best way we've overcome the transition of our lives. We've all went through many transitions, like being born is a big transition from, you know, living in a womb to living in the air. And there is many other transitions that we've went through in our lives. And if you realize that you've been through many transitions, it makes the next transition less frightening. And of course, the climate transition is a big one, but there is, you know, AI transition and many others, like democratic transitions and social transitions that are also very important. So we have to go through these transitions, but if we make them learning transitions, we can share the best way forward. So we do research on this. We also do research on how AI can foster those transitions, but also necessitate us to transition in the age of AI. And then we build a learning program and educational program for all ages. You know, what can be done for the kids, what can be done at the university level, what can be done at executive level. We might come back to this. Then we have an international alliance. Together with UNESCO, we've launched the Learning Planet Alliance. We've invited hundreds of organizations across the world that share our basic values, which is that, you know, all of them and all of us want to learn to care for oneself, others, and the planet. Okay. And so how do we do this? It's by collaborating and learning from each other across the planet. It's by building this alliance, and it's by organizing the Learning Planet Festival that this year had 600 events. We had participants in 191 countries across the globe that were celebrating the best way to learn to care for oneself, others, and the planet, and going from, you know, traditional views of citizenship to what we call planet citizenship. We had big programs, for instance, that we've been launching. One of them is Teachers for the Planet. You know, how can teachers transition as individual and as professionals and as communities? And then we have Another big activity of ours is to build a digital platform that can connect these people using places to document what you do, but also artificial intelligence to connect people to relevant content and to relevant peers that have projects that are complementary to yours. And then the last dimension is helping organizations, public, private, foundations that want to transition. So for instance, we work with European Climate Foundation, we work with Fondation de France, we work with universities, we work with, you know, ministries and so on to help them transition, because, you know, unless these big institutions transition, then we won't be too slow for the changes that we need. So we try to combine these five dimensions in one place. And so we have people from different culture, different ages and different background that collaborate together. And so that's the richness of this place. And we are based in Paris, but we worked across the planet with, you know, we have people from 60 different nationalities, for instance, that follow our programs. And we have this huge partnership so that we can learn from each other anywhere on the planet.
Okay, thank you. So it's very interesting. We were having a discussion together before the interview. We can share that with the audience, and we share the same motto, apparently, that are absolutely convinced that education will play a role in the transition, but at the same time we need a transition in education. So you told me, and you use this word, that you want to promote innovative, inclusive, transversal approach to education. So could we focus on the main message and recommendation you would have in terms of education transformation? And I'm very much interested, of course, in understanding what's the role that would be played by sustainable education in that strategy where you want to reinvent education.
So basically, we agree that in order to have this education for transition and sustainability, you need a transition of education. And actually, we're not just the two of us, many other people agree, one of which, interestingly, is the Minister of Higher Education in France, Sylvie Retailleau, that said this publicly while closing the Learning Planet Festival moment in January around the International Day of Education. So that was interesting to know that, you know, we are aligning ever more people along this. And of course, it's not easy, but let's be like this. It's clear that education system have been structured in 19th and 20th century to fit those periods. And it's also true that education systems are, you know, for evolutionary biologists, not the most evolving entities. And as an evolutionary biologist, I know that anything that evolves slower than its environment risk of becoming obsolete. And so that's a huge problem because, you know, there is an acceleration of change due to technology, to the climate, to, you know, societal changes and COVID. I mean, there was so many events that have profoundly affected education, and it's far from being finished. So historically, education is organized by the adults for the young in a very centralized, especially in France, but across the world, very centralized way, a very hierarchical way, where you don't choose what you learn. You learn what is in the curricula that has been defined, say, nationally in a country like France. So you don't choose what you learn. You are more or less competing with each other for this meritocratic society where there is only a happy few that are doing the best studies, and I will have access to the best jobs. And this meritocratic perspective means that if you are failed in that system, it also means that you deserve to have failed. And so, you know, that leads to a lot of anxiety for those that are at the bottom of the meritocratic pyramid. But it creates conflicts between the upper part of the pyramid and the lower part of the pyramid. And that's part of what we see in countries like France that leads to, you know, political unrest and social unrest. And so that's another problem of the past system. And thirdly, the classical education systems, you learn knowledge from the past. You learn to maybe climb on the shoulders of giants, but you know, you don't learn the way they climb themselves, and they've explored the unknown. So what we believe is that we need a profound change. So instead of competing on yesterday's knowledge on topics you've not chosen, we have to move to cooperate on the issues that are the most relevant to you today, in order to build the future. So, you know, instead of competing, you cooperate. Instead of being on the past, you want to build a future. And instead of not choosing, you do things that are meaningful and impactful for your own lives. And so the climate transition is something that is impacting every young person. So it's quite clear that, you know, if they are given a choice, they would want to understand climate. But it's not just understanding, because what has been shown is that mere understanding of the facts leads to eco-anxiety. And of course, it's not that you don't want to teach the fact, but you have to see what can be done once you know the fact, not to have anxiety. And the best way is actually to cooperate. And so to cooperate, to do things that go beyond yourself. And so first, you feel better because you're not alone. Second, you feel better because you're doing something meaningful and impactful. And if you cooperate at the right scale, with maybe not only local scale, but international or at least national scale, then you feel that, you know, you have a chance of having of developing the agency, the ability to be an actor and an author of your own future and the one of the planet. So that's really the paradigm shift that you need. And actually, you need this shift at every age. You need it for the kids, you need it for the students, you need it for the executive and the lifelong learners, because we all need to transition. So you need to change this, and you need to train the people that are in charge of the system to change. That's why we are building executive programs to accelerate the change, because if the people that are the decision makers of the systems understand the need for change, understand the need to construct new systems with the youth themselves, then they have a chance. To give you another example of the things we've done, we were helping UNESCO prepare a report on the future of education and organizing the Transforming Education Summit. So I was invited to be in New York during the General Assembly for the Transforming Education Summit. And I was amazed by the fact that 500,000 young people have written their vision of the future of education. And of course, they want a greening of the education system. Actually, you know, next week there is a meeting at UNESCO to talk exactly about this. And that's, you know, certainly a request from the youth. But they basically want to be heard on everything that impacts them. So co-constructing the future is key. And I was blessed to attend when the Secretary General of the UN, Guterres, was receiving that youth declaration for the future of education. And he basically told them there is four ways to interact with the youth. The first is to ignore them. The second is to pretend to listen. The third is to have a dialogue. And he said, we've done one and two for too long, and three we're just starting as we speak. But the fourth is what we should do, which is to co-construct the future. So any decision makers that, you know, listen to this podcast or that, you know, wants to do something for the future of education and the greening of education for the climate crisis needs to do this by co-constructing it with the young people. I think that's, you know, if there is only one message, that's the one that can make a difference.
It's a perfect transition for the last question I wanted to ask you. And by the way, you are talking about envisioning future and political agency. These are green competences as defined by the European Sustainability Competence Framework, Green Comp. That's super interesting. So you're talking about the need, the urgent need for more collaboration and co-creation processes. So I would like you to explain your views and the role that you see or you foresee played by communities of practice in achieving your innovation strategy to help transforming education system. So how do you see that? Because from what I understand, Learning Planet is a big global community of practice.
Yes, indeed. Actually, we could even say we're sort of a meta community of practice, and I'll come back to what I mean by this. But basically, because we connect many communities of practice together, okay? So there is community of practice of different type of professionals, you know, maybe teachers for the planet, for instance. There is youth that have their own practice. There is executive people. There is people in higher education. There is people in lifelong learning. They all have their own community of practice. The question for a meta community of practice is connecting the people that leads this community of practice so that they can learn from each other and they can see what they can learn in the various parts. So that's one dimension. The other dimension is that practitioners have always existed, you know, because they do things in practice. So, you know, that's hands-on learning. Being a reflexive practitioner means that you are learning on the best way to learn and on improving your practice. And you could do this alone. But if you do this in a community, it's more likely that you can learn from others' experience. Take, you know, the COVID crisis, you know, everyone was faced with the unknown. And, you know, reinventing everything on your own is difficult. But learning in a community of practice makes life easier. Same for climate crisis. So that's very much the same. But you can go one step further. So you can be a practitioner, a reflexive practitioner. You can be in a community, which is, you know, a further step. You can go even one step further, which is to start to be a community that learns through research. And by this, meaning that a community adopts the best possible ways to learn, to document what they do, and to critically assess what works in the community and what doesn't work in the community, and make this available so that the community is a learning community. The community is a community that has standards and process that makes it ever better and ever more able to build a knowledge that will be accessible to every members of the community and everyone caring to look at what's happening within the community, because you want to document this in an open way so that, you know, you build open science, open education resource, and so on. So that's very important dimensions that, you know, are complementary to one another, which is that you want to have the best methods so that the community of practice is a learning and a research community. That's one dimension. And the other one is that it's communities connected with one another, because your community of teachers should connect to a community of principals and to a community of researchers and to a community of executives so that they all can learn together to redesign not just you know, what's happening in one classroom, but redesigning what's happening in the whole ecosystem. So that and basically, you know, any teachers, any practitioner that stops learning is likely to be obsolete for the same reasons I was mentioning for education systems before. So we have to learn together. And the fastest way to learn together is not to reinvent the wheel, and therefore is to learn from each other in communities of practice that have these extra dimensions I was alluding to, so that they can use the best methods, including the use of artificial intelligence. So, you know, basically, to maybe close on this, we're using artificial intelligence to connect people in the community with peers and mentors that are doing things that are similar. So if they document their project, we can tell them, oh, look, the five closest projects in the community that are being done, and look at, you know, what has been produced by these other community members that are relevant to you. Look at the latest results of research on what you're trying to do. Look at what are the most relevant material if you want to teach, you know, climate in your classroom for this age or that age. So that's basically the ability to mobilize not only the individual intelligence as a practitioner, but the collective intelligence, but also the artificial intelligence. And what we really aim at is this coevolution. How can the individual intelligence, which is multidimensional, it's not only your rational thinking, it's also your emotional intelligence, it's your social intelligence, it's, you know, your ability to motivate others and to be what's called a meta leader, which is, you know, you want to lead your classroom, but you want to lead yourself, you want to lead your community, you want to lead even up, you know, how can you be a leader that is able to influence the people that are supposed to lead you, but are maybe not as enlightened as you would want them to be, you know, so, you know, how do you do this politely enough not to be kicked out of your institution, but in a way that, you know, is basically driving the change across the institution and at the right speed in the right direction. That's an art, but that's an art that can be taught. And that's typically the sorts of things that we try to promote, and trying to always go back to this idea of learning to care for oneself, others, and the planet. And I insist on these three levels, because some people are dedicating themselves so much to the cause that they forget about themselves, or so much to the cause that they believe that, you know, they can mistreat others that are not aligned with the cause. And so, you know, if you are not learning to care for oneself, others, and the planet, that doesn't work. And so that's, it's somewhat difficult because we've learned historically to maybe caring for ourselves, maybe caring for others locally, but no, we have to care at new scales. You know, the European Union was an important moment in history, but if you look at it, historically speaking, we started to care for our kins, or family, or newborn. That's the way as mammals we've evolved. Then we've progressively learned to care for our local community because we were interdependent locally. Then we start to build this at the city level, then at the national level, then at the European level, and now we have to do it at the planetary level. And this ability to do this is not just generosity and not just altruism. It's basically, we're so interdependent. Unless we care for each other and for the planet, the world system will collapse and we will suffer, and, you know, our dear ones and our own children, grandchildren will suffer. So we do have to do this. And so I think, you know, learning to do these things is essential, of course. And that leads back to what I was saying about the paradigm of education that has to change. The paradigm of education of competing on yesterday's knowledge, on things you have not chosen, doesn't work because, you know, you don't learn to, I mean, you compete so much that you dominate your own emotions, you dominate the others, and you dominate the planet. And then you exploit yourself, you exploit others, you exploit the planet. And that's counterproductive. So you have to learn to reconnect to yourself, reconnect to others, reconnect to the planet, and caring for oneself, others, and the planet. And that's this paradigm shift that we have to promote.
Thank you so much, François. A perfect way to conclude. Let's work on connection, and connection also between education for climate and learning planet. All the best for the future development of learning planet. Thank you again.
My very pleasure. Take care.